Good evening. So this morning, when Stephen got up and spoke, I thought it was not only a good sermon, but it was really good timing and a powerful and important message. But I also noticed it was a sermon that I was going to preach tonight, which is what I thought. But in fact, I was going to be referencing my cousin Tim's lesson as well. But as I was listening, Stephen pointed out there are other things that can be said on this. And I thought, that's true. So I kind of looked at my notes, and when he, you know, covered something, okay, he's at that. There are a few other things on there. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to make some of those additional points, and then I want to go back and expound on two or three points and give some examples of some of the things also touched on, and then we'll get done early. And probably nobody will mind that. But the fact is, life has pain. And some of us are going through a lot of pain right now. And some of us are not personally going through a lot of pain right now. But over time, that will shift around. And those of us who right now don't have heavy burdens on them, later we will. And one of the things that's just fundamental in this is this being comforters one to another. And this passage in Romans 12:15, where it says to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. This is the exact opposite, or at least very opposite, of an attitude in an old Paul Simon song from Simon and Garfunkel's days that says, I am a rock, I am an island, I touch no one, and no one touches me. I am a rock, I am an island, a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. And some people live by that philosophy. And there's a certain selfish advantage to it. You don't have to be affected by other people's problems. But you're also cut off from other people's joys, and you don't have the ties that were meant by God to have, and those ties aren't there for you either. So instead of that, we're told, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. In Luke chapter 10, we see a priest and a Levite in some pretty sorry behavior. And you know this story. If you want to turn to the text, you can turn over there, Luke chapter 10. It's when the lawyer came up to Jesus and said, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? He asked him, well, what's written in the law? And he correctly said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. She said, that's right, do it and live. And then he said, to justify himself, who's my neighbor? In other words, how far does this have to go? And Jesus gives the story of the Good Samaritan. And it starts like this. Jesus made answer saying, verse 30, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho who fell among robbers who both stripped him, beat him, departed, leaving him half dead. By chance, a certain priest was going that way, and when he saw him, you know what he did. He passed by on the other side. In like manner, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Why? They didn't want to be involved in his suffering and his problem. It's a very selfish way to live. And when we involve ourselves in other people's suffering and problems, it hurts. And if you just pass by on the other side, you get to avoid some of that hurt. But you know what you're not doing? What's Jesus illustrating? What commandment is he illustrating that we need to do? Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what was lacking in their life. Now, the Good Samaritan passed by. When he saw him, he doesn't move by on the other side, he's moved to compassion and helps him. What he didn't do, he didn't walk over and say, oh, I know how you feel. You know, that happened to me one time. Listen, one time I was on the road, you know, to Bethlehem, and these guys just beat me up, and oh, it was terrible. That's not helpful to the guy there. He doesn't say, let me know if you need anything. You know, be warmed and filled. What he did was, he did what he could do to fix the problem. Now, the challenge for us is, there's things that happen where we can't fix the problem. When we have a friend or a brother or sister who is suffering horribly, if it could be as easy as they've been beaten up and robbed and wounded on the side of the ditch, so that we know what to do. You know, those wounds can be bandaged. You know, they can be transported. They can be gotten to an end where they can recuperate. Then we'd all do that because we know what to do. But the problem is sometimes there's things where we don't know what to do and we can't fix it. Because in life, there is sunshine and there is rain and there are storms and there are droughts and there are floods and there are disasters. And a lot of those things are beyond our control. So what do you do when someone's suffering? We don't want to pass by on the other side, but we also don't have the ability that the Good Samaritan had to fix the problem. And so that's where being comforters comes in. Now, Tim's sermon, and if you'd like to, this is my cousin Tim Smelser, who preaches at Powers Ferry down in Atlanta. And he did. If you'd like to hear his lesson, it's online at Powers Ferry Church of Christ. It's August the 6th of last year. Let me tell you why he did this lesson. His wife, a few months earlier, passed away. Wendy was born with a heart defect and had known that throughout her life, and they just had to make decisions based on that. But she was very active. She was healthy otherwise. She liked to run, you know, long-distance races and things. She was a very active person. But it got, they looked and saw there the problems were getting worse. They went in for surgery. She came home from the surgery. It looked like it went well. She was recovering. And in the afternoon, she would sit down in her chair and read a book. And her daughter-in-law came through one afternoon. And she was just gone. She was in the chair, and there was her book, and she was just gone. And Tim went through that, but the reason he did the sermon was because a friend of his was about to face the same thing. And his friend is this fellow that I went to school with, and I went to school with his wife. And some of you would have met him. He visited here a while back. And his wife was suffering from a terminal disease, and there was a limited amount of time left for her being here on this earth. And Tim knew that everybody was going to be dealing with the suffering in that family, and having been on the one side of the situation himself a few months before, he wanted to discuss with people and think about principles of what's helpful and what's not. And so with that background, I want to emphasize a couple of the points made this morning and then talk some more a little bit about some practical things. But one of the points that he made, and Tim made it this morning, I mean, Tim made it and Stephen made it this morning, was this thing of don't say, you know, oh, I know how you feel. And I want to give some examples of that. It's not that people aren't helped by other people having experienced something similar. That can be a great help sometimes. But when we're not, I'll start with a horrid example and then another one to just help illustrate this. Years ago, very close friends of ours had a baby girl. And everything was expected to be okay, but when she was born, she had a very serious birth defect. And it was clear the baby was not going to live very long. That little girl died just days later. And you can imagine, of course, this was just so painful. And you're looking forward to this child, and the child is born, you're holding the child, you love the child, and then you just don't get the time with the child. And she was going to a meeting with other moms who faced the same health issue. And the story was told there of what one mom had been told after her baby died. Somebody, well-intentioned, I suppose, said, "Oh, I know how you feel. Our dog just died." And it just hurts. It's somebody suffering already, and then somebody who had a pet die minimizes what you're going through like that. But it can happen even when we're talking about people. So there was a brother, a very good brother, whose parents he'd buried years before, and then his child died. Later, his spouse would die. So he had a loss with his parents, he's had a loss with his spouse, he's had a loss with the child before the spouse, but right after the child died, someone said, "Oh, I know how you feel. My mother died, or my father died." Now, he knew how that felt, too. That hurts. I remember when my mother died. That hurts. But by the natural course of events, you know what most of us are going to go through? Most of us are going to go through and live our lives knowing someday we're going to have to say goodbye to our parents. And somebody said, "Oh, I know how you feel." Right after his child died. "I know how you feel. My mother died, or my grandfather died, or something like that." He said, "You do not know how I feel." So even though it's well-intentioned, realize that statements like that can be hurtful, and it can, even though it's not meant this way, it can feel minimizing. It's like, "Oh, that happens to us all." It can feel minimizing. And when somebody's in pain, I remember one time over in Hanover, I came around a corner, and I'm looking at the underside of an 18-wheeler. He'd gone around a corner. The load hadn't been secured. It all shifted. It was a bunch of pipes or something. Flipped over, and he slid into a telephone pole. He's crushed inside. I'm in there. I can't get him out. But he's just in horrible agony and crying out in pain. The dash has him pinned in. He's being crushed with his legs. All I can do is try to. I didn't know the difference between diesel and gas on explosiveness. I know the engine's still running. I see smoke or steam. I'm, you know, getting the truck shut down so there's not something else. Later I found out, well, diesel doesn't do that anyway. But I couldn't help him on the other part. So I'm doing what I can do. But if while he's just pinned in there and in that incredible pain, if I'd said, "Oh, I know how you feel." No, I don't. And it's not helpful to say things like that. So to underscore and emphasize that. And the point also that even if it looks the same, it's not the same. Chase was telling me about a situation in Kentucky. Two families, both a son died. Both younger sons, I mean, adult, but not little children. One was godly, had a good attitude. He was a young man of faith, and he had cancer, and he died. The other family had been unstable in their service, unreliable, and their son died of a drug overdose. Two very different cases. One of those families handled the tragedy very well. One didn't. You can probably guess which was which. The people of faith who are strong and reliable and committed, as much as it hurt, and the young man, as much as, you know, dreams and plans he had weren't going to be realized and everything else, that family went through it intact and strong. The other family, where the problem was brought on by their own behavior, did not handle it well. So just a lot of things can be different. Life does involve suffering. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, the clouds are turned after the rain, the day in which the keepers of the house tremble, strong men are bent, the grinders cease because they're few, those who look through the windows are dimmed, the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of grinding is low, one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid of what is high. Terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms. The grasshopper drags itself along. Desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. And of course, the book ends with this: the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. Unless the Lord comes back, we're all going to face death, but we will not all face it in the same way. When my mother died, we could see it coming. There was hope, and the hope over time got smaller and smaller, and we very much valued our time with her in the last times that she had here. With Adam, there was no warning. It was just, by the time I found out, he was already gone. Some people go when they're younger. Some people go when they're older. And it's going to hurt. Number two, the point, and Ben said afterwards, Ben Newton, he said the most important point he felt in the lesson this morning, he said that was a good lesson. And he said, I thought the most important thing was the part about listening. I'll tell you what he said. He said, a friend of mine came back from Afghanistan, really messed up with post-traumatic stress issues, just really messed up. And Ben said, I went and I didn't say anything. I just listened. And he said, later his wife said how much that just turned things around. In fact, if you'll think about this, I know that there are some psychologists, I'm sure, that are very smart and they really care about people and they do things that actually really help people a lot. I'm sure that's so. But a little bit of a stereotypical picture, and I'm sure there's some truth to it, you know what a lot of psychologists and therapists mostly do?
Dig up pain.
Sometimes they dig it up, and sometimes they just listen while the person, you know, tell me how you feel. And the person, you know, goes through it. How did that make you feel? And the person talks about it. Why? And their questions let the person go and exploring, but a lot of the time the therapist is just sitting there listening. And then your time's up and you pay a bill. And that can be useful, but the point is, we can be listeners. And sometimes that's really, really what people need. The account Stephen mentioned this morning in Alabama, right before my cousin preached this sermon, he gave me a call, and I happened to be in Alabama doing some teaching for young people down there last year. And I was at the house of a brother who they had lost two small children, or two small children had died. I like the way Simon Harris puts it. When people talk about he lost his daughter, he said, "She's not lost. I know exactly where she is." It's just, he doesn't have her here now. But this family, they had had two sons die. And he told me this story. It's one Stephen recounted. I'll give just a little bit more detail about it. It's this. The child was upstairs fading. The mother was upstairs with the child. And the grandmother was downstairs. The lady from church came and just sat in the foyer. The grandmother didn't feel like talking the first day. She was suffering, but she didn't feel like talking. And the lady just sat there. But then on the next day, at one point, the grandmother was ready to talk. And she had somebody she could talk to and just unload when she felt like talking. Gary Ogden, I really appreciate what he did for me one time. And it also taught me a lesson. Because it was when April was in college, and some of you will remember, April still has these migraines from time to time, and they're not as bad now. It's a very, very bizarre, rare thing. It's a basilar migraine. It's rare. Hospitals couldn't figure it out. I found it on Google. But it struck her, and while she was there, her roommate called, and the dorm mother said it looks neurological. Get her to the emergency room. They misdiagnosed it. It kept happening. I flew down the next day. It kept happening. And like every couple of hours or so, it would hit her. And when it was really hitting her hard, her foot would turn inward. Her jaw would be pulled sideways. She couldn't talk right. She just, and then emotionally, there were just these swings. And then after a bit, it would fade. And then it would hit her again. It would fade. It was scaring me to death. And so they said, "Oh, it's this. Take her to see an allergist." I took her to an allergist. He said, "No, that is not what they said it is. You need to get her to a different hospital." I got her to the district. They couldn't diagnose it. But then in April saying, "Dad, I can only see half of your face." And dads, do you understand what I was feeling at that moment? You understand the type of feelings I'm having, and you understand that I was also not wanting to tell April how scared I was and how much this was hurting me, right? Gary Ogden preached down at Plant. Gary's passed on now, but he was with Mark Bingham and Melanie over at Plant City. He came to the hospital. I don't remember one single word Gary said. He probably said something, but he didn't try to say much. And whatever he said, I don't remember. But I valued that a lot. It meant a lot to me because while I was with my girl and trying to figure out what's going on, the doctors can't figure it out, and I don't know, it's happening over and over these few days. I got to go out in the hallway and be as scared as I was and talk to Gary. And he was there for me. And it helped me learn times when I've thought, "Well, but I won't know what to say." Sometimes what people need is this, not this. And then practically, how to help. For one thing, and I just want to commend Brother Jim Craig, has been going through this for so long. And one thing that a number of people have been doing for Jim, of course, we've got a number of people suffering with different illnesses. And, of course, Sandy is in a serious condition with cancer. Jim is in a serious condition with cancer. And then the other health concerns that we have. But Jim needed rides back and forth to dialysis. And Jim Ruff and Phoebe have driven Jim over and over and over. LaDonna and Lori and Steven have also been doing that. And right now there's not a need for that because right now the schedule's changed where there's not a need for outside drivers. But those of you that have been doing that, just that type of service is just so valuable. And sometimes it's easy to see, okay, there's a need. You know, so-and-so needs a ride. Here's something else. Everybody here that's not going through a catastrophic disease or something within your family, do you have a bunch of stuff weighing on you already? We've all got stuff hanging over our head and stuff that needs to be done, right? Okay, so if a family's going through something, maybe there's something that you or I could do that doesn't have to do with the problem, but just like, you know, when a serious illness or tragedy comes along, other life's problems are still there. You know, houses still get dirty, grass still grows, you know, oils need to be changed and stuff. So sometimes somebody just by pitching in. But also, you know, some things ask, because sometimes we might think, you know, well, I'll just do this. And the thought would be appreciated, but like, for instance, I like to mow grass. It's kind of therapeutic for me. You know, I get to be outside and just get in that grass mode. And so if somebody said, I mowed your grass, I might be, oh, I was looking forward, you know, to that or something. Or if somebody said, I'll go over there, I'll just clean their house. They might be the type of person that, if you're going to come clean my house, I want to get everything clean first before you look under, you know, the couch and stuff. But there are other things that, if you know, that maybe you can do to just help somebody out. And so, like Stephen said, ask. But think of this also. What do you usually say when somebody says, hey, how are you? Generally, people say, fine, how are you? Occasionally, you say, hey, how are you? Well, I've been having this problem right here in my back. Also, my digestive system has not been great. I had a headache. And it's a kind of a thing people say, but it doesn't always mean it was really meant. And so then sometimes people said, hey, how are you? And say, I'm not going to ask how he is again. You know what can also sound like that? Hey, let us know if you need anything. And that may be complete. Somebody may say, how are you? And they're really wanting to know, how are you? And somebody can say, let us know if you need anything. But let us know if you need anything can also sound like, let us know if you need anything. So sometimes by asking specifically, not just asking, but saying, is there something I can do? Is there something that would be helpful? Is there something like that? You all did so much, for instance, when Adam passed. I'm not going to get into trying to say a bunch of things. If I tried to say a bunch of things, I would miss things and such. But it makes a difference when you know your brethren care. And other times, just I knew we were going to need a big place for a memorial service, and Jim just hands me a check, and just took care of it. And that was just. And the other things that people do, it's when you're hurting, when other people are just there and have your back, it's a good thing. And things like that still hurt. When I was, it's going to hurt. And at times, as time goes by, like wounds, they get better. But like I noticed this morning, I was making some notes, and I wrote, and it was on here somewhere, I put something about what helped with Adam. And I didn't want to write the word Adam's death. I just want to leave it as what helped with Adam. I went ahead and made myself write the word Adam's death. And it just kind of hurt to write that. I love Adam. I enjoy remembering Adam. I don't like thinking on and dwelling on his death. I'll tell you a couple things that helped me just personally, and I'm kind of off a bit of my outline, but or in the order of it, but I'll tell you two things, and everybody's different. But two things that help me. When somebody, and this is, every situation is different. Adam lived a long way away from us. We hadn't seen him for a year. And so one of the things that was so valuable for me was when somebody would share a story with me, or an anecdote, or a picture, or a little video, or a story about something he was doing. And he was doing good things that I didn't know anything about. You know, like when I found the sewing machine in his room and found out he'd been fixing people's clothes, you know. I didn't even know he knew how to sew. But just, I'll tell you what, it's like it, when somebody came to me with a story or a little video, it's like I got to spend a couple more minutes with Adam. And that was just great. And letting people know how much you appreciate someone. And let people know you appreciate them before you can't let them know you appreciate them. And let families know you appreciate them. Another thing, just personally for me, was this. Just switching from the hurt to just being thankful. When Mom died, I would have liked more of my mom. But I got that many years of having my mom. And I thought, I would rather have that many years of having my mom than for her to have been someone else for a longer period of time. And I got to have this much time with my son. And I would have liked to have more time with my son. But I'm thankful for who he is and the time that I got with him. I think that's about all that I have to say. There's things we can do. We can ask. We can help. We can pray. And when there's nothing we can do, it just helps when people know that they're cared about. And I wish some things could be done, like the Good Samaritan, where he could just fix it. I've thought, you know, with Sandy, with Jim, with Angelo Mioza, and one of the things is that when you're ill, just sleeping well is difficult. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we could just rotate around and I could lose a night's sleep, you know, for Sandy to get a real good night's sleep, or you could lose a night's sleep for Jim to get a real good night's sleep. And just, wouldn't it be nice if we could do that? We can't transfer that. But we're all going to face pain in this life. But we can serve one another, and you remember what John said, 1 John chapter 4. Love not just in word, but in action. So let people know, but not just be warmed and filled. If you're able to put something warm on them, or if you're able to fill or something else, let that action be there too. And some actions we can't accomplish, but we can pray to God and we can be there for each other, and we can weep with those that weep, and we can rejoice with those that rejoice. We all need that. Thank you. Let's stand and sing the songs like this.